In the world, there are illnesses. There are like physical illnesses, which is what I'm actually mentioning. And the cure for the physical illness, how do we obtain the cure? It's apparent. You go to somebody like a hakim, a doctor, a physician, and you will see that the hakim or the doctor immediately, straight away, doesn't prescribe the medicine. Rather, the physician analyzes, tries to diagnose and find out what is the actual malady here. Is it a cold, a flu, or something else? He won't give immediately the medicine until he realizes or finds out what is the problem, the root cause. And that's how you get the proper treatment, isn't it? And for that, there's a process, a technique, a method of how to diagnose the illness properly, correctly. First, the junior doctor comes in. Maybe the case is passed on to the senior doctor, then the consultant, and maybe the professor has to get involved. And sometimes, as the doctors analyze and look, and then your confidence will grow that, the doctor, he's a good doctor, or he said something good, he's right about my illness. This is how I feel. And then that disease or illness is cured, and Allah Ta'ala's blessing comes, and the shifa comes, the cure comes. But the tariqah, the method, is how I've just explained. So in the same way, us common people, there's nobody rich, poor, old, young, big, small. Everybody in the world has some sort of issue or problem that he has attached to himself or is involved in. There are illnesses, there are tragedies. And sometimes people complain that there's no barakah in the home. There's no barakah in my earnings. The children are disobedient. And this is a common, you can call this a difficulty or distress. You can look at it in different ways. So there should be a cure for this. We ourselves see this, hear this. And obviously it's obvious that this is not a small thing. Everyone looks in their home, looks at himself. Someone says, I've got depression. Someone says, I've got this issue, or certain transaction of mine has been stopped abruptly, or my business is not flourishing. And then people take advantage of the other person's misfortune. The amils come, the jinn masters come, or they come with wrong analysis, wrong solutions, and interfere in people's problems. Somebody gets free from the jinn or not free from the jinn. They say, oh, he's a good person, go to him, he'll solve your problems, black magic, etc. And then people, they start to believe in these things, and they go towards shirk. So shirk, it then takes a person further away and then from his creator, and it earns Allah Ta'ala's displeasure. And instead of improving his condition and problems, it goes further away and gets worse. So anyway, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has created us. He's created all of us. And they are consultants for the issues, and the biggest consultant who gave the cure and who diagnosed and analyzed that, why do problems come? Why do difficulties come? Why does distress come in the life? Why? So, there's a big consultant, and there's no bigger consultant than him. And will his cure be the best or not, I ask you? Can the illness remain after going to the best consultant? Can the problem remain? Can the distress remain? The question doesn't arise. How can it remain? Who is the biggest consultant? Who is that? Our Rabbi Hakiki, our Master Creator. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He is the Master Consultant. He's given us the cure. He has analyzed the illnesses. He has diagnosed the problems. And such a great investigation. And He has presented it in His true kitab book. And He's written it, sent it, revealed it, so we can read, understand, so our distress and issues and problems disappear. So it's our misfortune and wretchedness that, why have we got problems? Why have I got problems? That when Allah Ta'ala has given us the explanation and clarity and made it easy for us, then it doesn't make sense that a person after that says, oh, I've got problems, there's no barakah, there's no blessings, I've got issues. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Hakim has mentioned that the reason for your illness, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ بِمُصِيبَةٍ وَبِمَا قَسَمَ, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the verse, that there's a lot abundance of the issue that the person has. And there's a surah of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that all of your difficulties and problems and no barakah, no blessings, whatever's in your society, in your environment, the reason for this is Allah Ta'ala has mentioned وَمَا حَسَابَكُمْ بِمْمُصِيبَةٍ, that the reason for this is that every difficulty, problem, worry, no barakat, no blessings, the reason for this is that you yourself do the actions and the result of your actions is this, Allah Ta'ala says. It's due to your own actions. You disobey me. And due to disobeying me, the result is that problems start to come upon you. Problems come, worries come, distress comes, your work gets spoilt, and you can't understand why this is the case. Because you're not concentrating on the root cause. So Allah Ta'ala has clearly explained this to us. وَمَا سَبَكُمْ بِمْمُصِيبَةٍ. That's such a big thing. Allah Ta'ala has given us guidance. He's given us the clarity. He's explained to us. We should think about this, that everything, the result and the consequences and the conclusion and the things that are in front of us are due to our actions with our own hands. For example, you have a disobedient child. If he follows the solution, he'll get free from the problems. If Allah Ta'ala gives us the guidance that if you leave my disobedience, those things that I've told you to refrain from, which we call sins, Allah says when you leave them, then the problems will disappear. So the problems that come upon our heads, they will disappear. Distresses will disappear. Very easy method. Very easy method, Allah Ta'ala said. And further, in this there's another point we have to understand. People sometimes say that I pray salah, I do tasbihat, I recite Quran, and we do all of the good things, and I go on hajj, the pilgrimage, and I do dhikr, and I remember Allah. Then why do I have problems and difficulties and issues? There's a good example I'll give to you. A person who constructs a home, a house, and after constructing the new home, the house is developed, ready, and he hasn't put the roof on top of the house. And it rains. Torrential rain comes, heavy downpour. Will the rainwater come into the house or not? Of course it will come in. Nobody can stop it because the roof is open. There is no roof. So what did he do? He said, oh, make the roof. When he doesn't make the full roof, he makes half the roof. Will the rainwater come in or not? It will come in still. So what's the reason? It will be less rain. Half of the rain will come. Half of the volume. Still he hasn't stopped it, prevented it. Then he completes the roof. But there are little holes in the roof. Then it rains. Will the water come in or not? It will leak in because there are holes in the roof. And then if he seals all the holes and makes the roof complete, then will the water come in? No. The house will be saved. So the reason is this, my brothers, that we pray salah, we do the deeds, we perform the deeds, but the roof is not complete. Here, you got holes in your roof. You pray salah, you do dhikr, you read Quran, but despite this, you still disobey Allah. For example, you're sitting here with sitting on the dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah, Allah's rahmah and mercy will come. And when we are free from dhikr, then we do a disobedient act, then the rain will come through the holes, then the difficulties will come again, the problems will come again. So this is not the tariqah, this is not the method, this is the reason. If totally, totally you want to save yourself from the effects and you want to live your life with peace and harmony, afiyat in this life and the hereafter, what is the solution? Totally come onto the path and don't disobey Allah. And you don't need to complain to anyone, Allah, this is not happening. Oh Allah, this is not happening. I pray Allah and I did this as well and I do dua and I pray tahajjud as well. Then alongside that, you do disobedient acts. You do wrong actions. Look at this. You commit sins. So this is not the reason. You cannot complain that there's no solution or I'm not free. Allah says, Ya'fun kathira. Allah says that ask for the forgiveness from me and I will forgive you. I will forgive you, doesn't matter how many sins you have. I will forgive you, ask for forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala says this, يَعْفُونَ كَثِيرًا. That doesn't matter how many sins you have to your name, ask for forgiveness, I will forgive all of the sins, totally, and I will seal them, I will destroy them, and no difficulty, drop of difficulty will come into your life. Impossible. Ah, great guarantee Allah Ta'ala gives here. Great guarantee. Doesn't matter what difficulty you have, whatever problem you have, whatever lack of blessings you have, all of this is due to our deeds with our hands. You do a good deed. You do a good deed. Once you recite Durood. Once you recite Durood, what will happen? How long does it take? Not even a second. And Allah Ta'ala said, the small Durood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a total Durood, complete Durood. How long does it take? And what will it bring? What will it attract? What will it pull towards you? Allahu Akbar. Allah, His angels, and 70 mercies will be sent from Allah and His angels to that person who reads the Durood. How many? 70 from Allah and the angels. So tell me. Tell me. One rahmah of Allah's is enough. One rahmah, one mercy. And the rahmah that comes, what will be the rewards within? Allahu Akbar. What difficulty can remain if Allah Ta'ala's rahmah comes upon you? Can any problem remain? Difficulty remain? You've recited the Durood. And what does that attract? That Durood attracts and pulls on the mercy of Allah, Allah's rahmah. And you're doing dhikr here. What is this? What is this? This is pulling and attracting the rahmah of Allah. When people gather to do dhikr of Allah, what happens? From the earth to the heavens, there are angels upon angels upon angels. At this moment in time, the gap between the earth and the heavens is packed with angels. It's not a little thing. Tell me, an angel comes to your gathering, to you, will he not bring rahmah? Will he not bring barakat? Will he not bring mercies? Will he not bring rewards? So many of these he will bring. And how much you will earn, we will earn in a little bit of time. Everything Allah Ta'ala will bestow to us. And what will happen? That we have done dhikr, we've remembered Allah, we've recited durood, we leave the gathering, we reach home, and then we open up the holes in the roof. And the water starts to drip through the holes again. And we complain, Allah, I've just done your dhikr and there's no benefit. Allahu Akbar, ask those people who, alhamdulillah, do dhikr, go home, back to the dunya, and then they don't disobey Allah. Ask those people, what is the barakat in their life? They will lose count. Allah's mercies rains down upon them because they collect it. Me and you, what we've earned here, it will collect. It will collect in your book of deeds. You've earned this much. You've earned this much. The barakat of dhikr, yani every letter and verse we recite. What will we read just soon to come? What will we recite? Quran? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Is this not in the Quran? La ilaha illa anta subhanaka. Ya hayyu ya qayyum. Is this not in the Quran? All the kalimats are ismi azam. All of them contain the name of Allah and they're recited. They're mentioned in the Quran. Can you imagine the barakat of reciting this one word of the Quran? One letter of the Quran. Every letter of the Quran, it gives reward and nur. Every letter of the Quran is light. Every letter is light. Forget about the world, the word itself. There was an elder in our Akabari and pious predecessors. And he was not educated. He was not educated. He didn't know how to read or write. He was a wali of Allah, pious person. He didn't know how to read or write. He knew the verses of Durood and he remembered those and memorized those and read them. And the ulama ikram were amazed, the scholars, that if somebody read Quran in front of him, and he'd say, this is where it's in the Quran. If someone read a hadith, he'd say, this is the hadith. And if an elder would say something, and it would be repeated in front of him, he'd say, this was this wali who did this. Somebody asked him, Hazrat, how are you doing this? You're not educated. You're not literate. How do you explain that this is from this place in the Quran, this is this hadith? He said, this is very easy. He said, the Quran, the light of the Quran, every letter has nur. When someone reads the Quran, I can feel that nur, that light of the Quran. I can see it. And after Quran is hadith. And the nur, the light of the hadith is less. So when I see that nur, I know it's a bit less in effect and impact. This is not the nur of the Quran, this is hadith I'm listening to and hearing. And the rest, the events, the stories of the people, their lives is not as much nur, so I can differentiate. This is Quran, this is hadith, and this is the stories of the people. So the kalamats that we recite just now, tell me there'll be nur upon nur within us. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Imagine the kalamat. This is dhikr of Allah. How much we will earn and leave. So what I'm trying to say is that we will attract so many good deeds, but don't waste them after you depart. How bad, how sad. By following our nafs and desires, just the nafs, khwaishat, desires, dunya, worldly things that we want to earn. Those people, those poor souls who don't come here, and they don't have the chance. But we were sitting in the jamaat to do dhikr, and we have so much reward and opportunity. But tomorrow Allah will grab us more strongly. That I wanted to save you. If from this fire of hell. I gave you an opportunity. I sent you to that majlis. I gathered you, assembled you in that gathering. I taught you my name. You read my Quran. You did my dhikr. I made you hafidh for this reason. Alim, scholar for this reason. And we try to be clever, crafty. Allah is the one who makes. Allah Ta'ala says, I put the Quran into your heart. I made you the scholar. And you are so like a person who's not cautious, not careful. Dhikr of Allah, one statement, Allah says, is amazing, the opportunity to do dhikr. And sajda, sujood, prostration, when a person does sajda, the angels bring barakat and blessings in the same way. When a person disobeys Allah, then what does he attract? Then what does he end? Jinnat, and darkness, problems, issues, difficulties, and wretchedness. And people, they're unhappy. Oh, in my home, the children don't sleep. There's problems, there's difficulties, and someone comes and does this in our home, and there's problems, we have issues and problems and magic, and people keep complaining. Who will explain to these people? The brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a great deen, such a great methodology and a path, that if we grab hold of that path and methodology, don't allow anything to enter to your home which is attracted and attached to the disobedience to Allah. How can a jinn dare to come into a home? In that home where Quran is recited, how can a jinn have a link with that? How can wretchedness have a link with that home? How can bad actions and difficulties and worries have a link with a house within which Allah Ta'ala's deen is practiced? How weird. Allah has given us Quran, ibadat, and worship, dhikr of Allah, and even then in the home we have difficulties and problems and worries. How can this be? This situation is such that there's disobedience happening, and not a small thing. Not just a small thing. And whenever we do an action, we say, oh, it's a very small thing. It's a very small thing. We consider it a small thing. No. And one word we have, oh, come on, forget it. Everyone else is doing this. What difference does it make if I do it as well? Why is it problems have to come to me? Our brothers, no. Incorrect. Especially I say to myself and to you brothers, I will say this definitely, that Allah Ta'ala has given us a great reward. Such a great opportunity. Tawfiq, He has made us come to His home, sit on the Musalla, read Quran, hifz of Quran. People do this for the sake of Allah. Value these ni'amas. Never imagine that after I do these things, I sin. I will disobey Allah. After dhikr, salah, Quran, memorization, these are treasures. Gather them, collect them for the akhirah. Such noor will come out of your grave. You will be amazed, amazed. Quran's light, dhikr's light, ibadat's light, worship light, tahajjud you pray, dhikr you do, and alhamdulillah, you have everything to your name, and you waste it. You waste it? Disobedience? Sin? This will destroy us, 99%, the source of difficulties, rather I'll say 100% based on what the Quran tells us, the source of difficulties, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ بِصِيبَةً, Allah Ta'ala says, بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, you've earned it with your own hands, you've earned the misfortune due to the sins and the disobedience. Allah says, time is there. You still have a chance. Promise to me that Allah, we will not disobey you. We will not sin. We won't allow the sins to come in our life. We won't allow any issue to come up. We say, oh, I'm forced to do this. Oh, I've got issues. I've got a sin. I can't help it. Allah says, no. Allah says, what do you mean you can't help it? So now you're going to Jahannam? You are forced to go into Jahannam? What was the first thing that forced you to go into Jahannam? Allah Ta'ala says, I want to take you out of hellfire. And you say, no, I don't want to go to paradise, Allah. I want to go to hellfire. Amazing. Weird. This dunya is temporary. Maut is haqiqi. It's truth, reality. Sometimes we hear things about the people who are dying. We're amazed at how he was living, then he died, how he became ill, etc. There was a person we knew, he passed away in India. The barakah, I'm mentioning this, that is, his maut has come to my mind. He passed away very recently, yesterday. Qari Sahib mentioned this to me. And I used to meet him. He used to come from India. And Mulana Abbas Sahib was his name. And he had a madrasa, a children's madrasa. 50 years he recited Quran. I'm telling you, the light of Quran. And he taught Quran in such a way that he didn't disobey Allah after Quran. He didn't disobey Allah. Then look at the nur, the light in his life. Of the Quran. I saw that he was ill, he used to come, he was a bit frail, and mashallah, he was pure and sincere, he used to sit in dhikr. And today I heard, and this is in my mind, I'm speaking about him, suddenly the thought came, I'm explaining to you that how nur assists, and we are wasting the nur of the deen, of Quran, the amal, and telling you about this majlis, that how much reward Allah has given, and we'll go and waste it. Just by doing a small sin, so cool, and the whole color of this majlis, you'll spoil, you'll tarnish. You go home, and you start playing games with your life, and Shaitan will destroy you, deviate you, delude you. He'll make you do the sins. Every sin is a sin, and that is that sin that the tariqah that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote, and you go against his tariqah, against his ways and principles, then you have wasted your deeds, destroyed. So look, how can you fight with your nafs? If you can fight with your desires, then you are successful. If you can't fight your desires, then you are unsuccessful. As a Mulana Abbasa, and he went on Umrah, just like people go on Umrah nowadays. And I'm telling you about today. And he passed just away, just yesterday. And mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to do Umrah recently. He did Tawaf, Umrah. And after that, he went to Medina. And he went to Madinatul Munawwarah. He presented himself at the Raudhatul Mubarak. Tell me, he went to Makkah, all the sins are wiped away. He goes to Medina, and what he must have attained, you can think, you can feel what he would have attained. And his past, his few days I'm talking about here, and the color, the benefit, the increase of iman, beautiful thing that he's attaining while he's on that journey. After that, he's traveling back, just like I was told, Qadi Sahib explained to him, as he's departing, he reached to Jeddah. And at Jeddah, he became ill. And then they said, call the ambulance. And this, I am witness of this. I've seen people passing away, heard in Jeddah. And very few people are like this. I've seen this myself, that they said, no, just bury us here. They keep saying, they send me to Makkah, send me to Medina. They don't let them go there. That is not their habit. They say, no, there's a graveyard in Jeddah, we'll bury them here. I've seen people, certain friends have passed away like this, and they were buried in Jeddah. And people who have lived for so long, they know Arabic, they don't let them go. No, there's a graveyard here as well. Allah Ta'ala says, bury them here. So they're buried locally. But this is the mawt I'm telling you about, the Quran, the Noor and Dhikr, the benefits, the light of Allah Ta'ala's deen, when it benefits. So when will this become Noor? When we don't disobey Allah, when we stop our eyes, our tongues, our hands, our eyesight, our life, we imitate and obey the sunnah. My friends, how long is this life? Very few moments. Just a few years ago, I used to see him come here. He used to collect donations, salam, dua on the phone. Qadi Sahib used to mention once or twice we met. And now if I think that at that time, what did we know? That life, just a few years is left. How do you know that how many years of your life is left for me? Eyes closed, say, 60 years I lived, 80 years I lived in the world. It will feel like it was 5 minutes. Just think that for 5 minutes you have to stay silent. This life is just like that. The similitude of this life is just that 5 minutes I'm not going to sin. Just consider your life, a whole life is 5 minutes. I'm not going to disobey. Then it will make it easy for you. Don't extend it. Oh, I've got 60 years left, 70 years, 80 years. Don't make this measurement. Just consider you've got 5 minutes, and in 5 minutes I may pass away. Be quiet, don't sin, and then you'll get the gardens of paradise. Gardens of paradise. So it takes 5 minutes, Mulana Sahib. It looks like it was 5 minutes ago I met him, and then he passed away. So imagine, I don't know the intricate details. Who knew him there? Who must have known him there? Who would have influenced him, assisted him? And that somebody said, send him to Makkah. Allahu Akbar. So send him to Makkah for cure. And he's in Jeddah. So what happens now? He goes to Makkah from Jeddah. And he went back to his hotel in the room. He sat down. Imagine this. And he became very ill. And people were present there. And then his maut came. Allah Ta'ala was calling him back. Allah Ta'ala prepared everything. Mulana Sahib, this was his preparation done by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. First the visa, he went to Umrah, Makkah, Medina, back to Jeddah, then back to Makkah by plane, subhanallah. Then back to Jeddah, then go back to Makkah. And he's lying down in his bed and he was ill. Does an ill person laugh or smile? Shriek or cry? When a person's ill, a person makes noise, shrieks out, screams, Allahu Akbar. But what a beautiful death. Mawlana Sahib smiling and he's reciting loudly kalama shahadat, and then his life passed away back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell me, what a great death. What a great death. Look at this. And we will also pass away. Why don't we do actions like this? And where will our janazah be? Where could the janazah be? Allah, where was his janazah? Imagine such a great janazah in Haram Sharif in Makkah. Where will he be buried? Jannatul Ma'ala. Subhanallah, where Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha is buried, another Sahaba. Imagine. Could you imagine Mawlana Sahib? This reward he would have attained. And this is the reason today you're doing dhikr. You don't know the reward you're getting for dhikr. Can you imagine that due to this dhikr, after this dhikr, how many darajat of yours will be increased? Your level, status, Jannah, doors of paradise will open after dhikr, majlis gathering. What a great reward Allah will give. Can we imagine? Can we think after reading Quran, after reciting Quran, that the doors that Allah Ta'ala opens, everything becomes nur and light, and this was his way of life. Maulana Sahib, this is what I consider. 40-50 years, he taught Quran to the children, to the daughters, to the girls. MashaAllah. To the children, girls and boys, with taqwa, with fear of Allah, and he didn't allow disobedience come to his life, and his nur was building up. So much nur gathered that no one was capable that they could stop him and bury him in any other normal graveyard or stop him from going to Haram Sharif. He went and his janazah was prayed in Haram Sharif and he was buried in Jannatul Ma'al. Allah prepared this. Few days his life, my brothers. And those people who don't have tawfiq, they can't pray, they don't know about praying, we give them nasiha, advice, go to them, advise them, got them. And then you have people who know everything, who pray salah, do ibadah. And there's us. Morning we do dhikr, evening we do dhikr, daytime dhikr, and we're remembering Allah, we know about his deen. Don't think this is a game. This is Allah's rahmah, his reigns of Allah Ta'ala. Allah's rahmah is raining down upon us. Rahmah, raining down upon us. Noor ala noor. Don't think this is a game, pastime, habit. Oh, I do it all the time, and tilawat and recitation and Quran. My brothers, this same verse you read, how much reward will you get? 10 times more. You get one reward, and with the fadl of Allah, it will become multiplied by 10. Or more than that. We read a word of the Quran, alif, lam, meem. Allah says, if you recite this, listen carefully, the same word, if you pray reciting the salah, whether it's nafil or what, it will become more, 100 times more reward. 100 times more. 10 times normally recitation, 100 times more in the, when you read in the Quran. And then you can recite it, Surah Ikhlas, Surah An-Nas, how much reward you will get in salah. And after leaving, what? You do a sin. The shaitan makes us do a sin. How sad. Oppression, we are oppressing ourselves. Dhulam, injustice, servants of Allah. Suppress your desires for a few days. I speak to myself. You are pious, brothers. You are pious. Why don't I suppress my desires and bad thoughts for a few days and make a promise? Allah says that you promised to me, I will remove all of your previous sins. You ask for forgiveness. Allah says, I will forgive you. Allah says straight away first that Ya'fu, I will promise you. I promised you I'll forgive you. Not that you ask, then I'll think. Allah says guarantee before that. Allah has given reward, explaining, mentioning, describing, and then we still cry after that. We still complain. So when a problem, difficulty, distress, no barakah, no blessings, no mercy, this, my business is not flourishing, my children, I haven't got children, I'm disobeying, my children disobeying, all of them, the reason is that ma asabakum musibatun. Allah says, look, due to the actions of your own hands, you have earned the calamities. The problem is your own actions. All of the problems and restrictions in your life are due to your sins and disobedience. Let's pray to Allah with a true and honest heart that Allah, due to the sadqa of your Habib on such a beautiful night in a beautiful month, Allah Ta'ala sent us to do dhikr with passion and desire. We should do dhikr of Allah with sincerity and be humble and promise to Allah that Allah, in the same way, may we be safe from your disobedience. How long will we waste our opportunities? Doesn't matter what happens, Allah will not sin. Allah will not sin. If today we grab hold of dhikr, I tell you, I explain to you, this majlis, if we start from today, Allah Ta'ala says that if we promise today, Allah, forgive me, Allah, forgive all my previous deeds. I've wasted all my previous gatherings. Allah, I promise to you that after departing from this majlis today, I will not disobey you. I will not sin. I will control myself. I will not disobey you. Allah has promised. What will happen after that? Kathir, Allah says. Allah Ta'ala mentions openly that I will protect this, your request. I will preserve this. And all of the previous gatherings that you wasted, I will allow you to get the reward from them. Because Allah Ta'ala says, maybe death will come tomorrow. Maybe very soon, and you need the reward. So I've explained to you the principle that those people whose noor is collected together, then look at that mouth we saw, Mulana Sahib. He was, mashallah, a teacher who taught in a madrasa. He used to teach children in Hindustan, in India. And there was no other special reason he got ill. We could get ill. Everyone can get ill. But what a great maqam he's got now. And in comparison to that, you have kings and leaders, sultans, palaces, mansions, lands, gather them all together. And they cannot compare to the atom of Maulana Basab. If you say to Maulana Sahib, what Quran are you reading? Someone said to him a few days ago, why are you reading Quran, teaching Quran? Why don't you run a factory, earn a factory? People say, why are you teaching children? What's this £50 a month you're earning? £40 a month, a few pounds a month. People joke, innit? Oh, do this, run a business, Maulana Sahib, become rich, wealthy. What's this? You're a Maulana teaching children in madrasa. Look at this doctor, he's an engineer, he's wealthy, he's got business and lands. But subhanAllah, Can anyone compare to Maulana Sahib? He's taken the riches. Here we're speaking about him, but on the heavens they'll be proud of him. Ah, the people say that what a great man has come. What a great man has passed away. So today if we do tawbah to Allah, and we've got the opportunity, you've done tawbah, you do dhikr, mashallah, you pray salah, so you've already done tawbah. But do tawbah Allah from today, we won't disobey you. We won't sin. This sheet of the sins, we're going to make sure no cross comes onto him. Allah, give me the tawfiq, and you also the tawfiq. Ameen, recite the Durood Sharif.